Blog Talk Radio.
I think it's time. Are you ready?
Make it happen. The time is now.
Oh, yeah.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now, in case you forgot. Man, it's Tuesday. What time is it, Rob? It's time for Talking Sports with 12 Man. Of course, I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And, well, we're not throwing any slants, man. We're going to take it right in. We're going to take it right into the end zone. How about that? Man, you were talking sports with 12 Man. Of course, it's Tuesday.
H-bag died.
February the 1st. You're officially talking sports with 12 Man. Before we always get started, I always like to check in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing fantastic. Excited we're back on the air. What's going on?
Not too much, sir. It's been a minute, man. So I'm like you. I'm excited, and let's go ahead and get this party started. So without further ado, for all of our listeners out there, if you want to call into the show, as we always like to set the stage, we want to give you the numbers to call. First and foremost, you can reach us if you want to call on the show personally to check in, 424-243-9519. That is the number to do that. And then finally, secondly, we're on Facebook and on Twitter. If you want to follow us via Twitter, it's number 12THMAN Sports, obviously at Twitter.com. And then finally, we are available on Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com, if you put in /12ManSports, you'll find us. Or if you put in Talking Sports with 12 Man, we will be able to answer and all that fun jazz, too. So, Rob, man, we have been in the middle of Super Bowl recapping and kind of all that fun stuff. A lot of things have been happening. But what a fantastic game. Let's kind of recap that, sir, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, probably one of the better Super Bowls we've had here in the last 10 years. Actually, definitely, if you compare it to last year's Super Bowl, it was a debacle probably in the first 5 minutes of the game last year. Great game. Came down to the last minute of the football game. Seattle gets an unbelievable catch there. Almost mm-hmm. lucky catch there. They put themselves in position to win the game on a goal line there. And, first down, you give the ball to Lynch, and he carries about four guys to the one-yard line, and you think he's going to give the ball right back to him again from the one-yard line, and they throw a quick slant, which is actually, typically a pretty successful play on the goal line, but, you know, you think when you have one of the better running backs in the league, you think you're just going to run the H-back dive play and just pound them up the middle there. Listening to Pete Carroll's explanation, obviously he took up for his offensive coordinator, and said it was his decision and things of that nature. But, you know, a lot probably went into the thought process for that call. I still, obviously, it's easier to say hindsight is 20/20 to get a ball to Lynch. But strangely enough, the Seahawks have given a ball to Marshawn Lynch 6 times this year from the one-yard line, and he's only been successful in scoring once out of those 6. So, that could have played a part in their decision-making. Also, the Patriots are very successful when they go to the goal line bunch defense from the one-yard line, too. And so Pete Carroll obviously weighed all of these options, and they decided that the best chance to score was to spread New England out from the one-yard line. Obviously, it backfired. It didn't work. and you can even go back to when Pete Carroll was the coach at USC when they played Texas in a national championship game. Almost a similar situation. Went for it on 4th and goal from the one-yard line. Gave the ball to Lindale White, who I guess would be his version of Marshawn Lynch at the time. And the Longhorn stuffed them and went down the field and won the game. And so, I mean, that's the only thing. There's three things I can think of, the reason why he went with the pass. But, you know, obviously hindsight is 20/20, and everyone across the country says, give the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
You know, like you said, and that was a very detailed explanation, Rob. I appreciate you really taking the time to explain that. And yeah, like you said, everyone in America was thinking the exact same thing, Rob, as far as, you know, here you had opportunity to have Marshawn do his thing. You know, our explanation, Rob, that the Patriots were kind of in a bunch formation there on the goal line defense, so, you know, maybe they tried to get too cute with it, you know, maybe – they try to, like, catch him off guard with a quick play. And maybe it was a time, Rob, they didn't have enough time on the clock. You know, maybe they were thinking about all these different scenarios. Maybe we'll throw real quick, maybe run, and then try to take a quick timeout. You know, I don't know. But, you know, however that played out, you know, I think bottom line is it came down to a great play by Malcolm Butler. You know, so, I mean, you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, that's kind of lost in the shuffle, too. You know, he said how, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, they kept running the play during practice, and I guess they got beat a couple times. And he got beat on that crazy pass before, too. But And Bill Belichick stops practice, that you've got to understand this play is coming. And so, you know, he recognized the film study, and he made a break. He played the ball. And, you know, like you said, that's kind of what happened. So, you know, in all actualities, you know, whatever happened, you know, like you talked about, you did a great job of talking about the different scenarios. But it comes down to, you know, just a great play that was made by the defense. And you talk about pulling victory out the jaws of victory, I guess, but that's what happened for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, hindsight is typically always 20/20. And but, yeah, I think you make a great point there. You just got to give Malcolm Butler a lot of credit for jumping that route. Did a tremendous job reading it, and I mean, he broke on a ball really fast. He saw it coming, and obviously that comes from film study. You know, obviously mm-hmm. you got a good football coach on that side of the football field, and Bill Belichick too. They probably diagnosed that in practice and film study a million times prior to the Super Bowl, and so you have to give them some credit as well. And what a story, Malcolm Butler, undrafted. Went to directional school, West Alabama, and
wow.
I tell you, that was a heck of a football play that he made at the end of the game as well.
Just definitely goes to show you that it's the 53-man team, 46 obviously, that play during the game. But, you know, everyone comes in there, and everyone is integral in making a part. So it's a team game, ultimately, and, you know, just a great, I just said, just a great, great Super Bowl, one of the more entertaining ones. Didn't matter what side of the coin you were on. I know we were at a party and somebody was really going for the Patriots, and she's like, it's over. And I'm like, you never know until the game is over. And that's exactly what happened. So what a great game.
Wow.
And, you know, that's just how it plays out. So she thought the game was over. Like, it's over. She was really upset. And I'm like, you never know. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's move on, Rob.
You know, and on the surface there, obviously, you know, after Seattle gets that incredible catch inside the 5-yard line, I mean, you have to think that Seattle's going to win that football game. And, and, you know, and Bill Belichick, I tell you what, I mean, the amazing thing is that he showed tremendous confidence in his defense right there because he never called a timeout. I think if I was in that situation, you can almost say, hey, call timeout, let him score, let's get the ball back, see if we can get a field goal, send it to overtime. But he never called timeout. He let Seattle he tried to rely on his defense to stop him and prevent him from scoring. And that was even gutsy as well. Because I tell you what, if Seattle would have scored there and won this game, then the critics would have been criticizing Belichick for not calling timeout in that situation to stop the clock, try to get the ball back, and see if you can tie the game up, send it to overtime. And but instead, you know, Pete Carroll is the one who's being criticized here with the bad play call at the end of the game.
Man, this just a tale of just never know how that different press conference looks versus if Russell Wilson wins and he's the second time winner, or Tom Brady's the GOAT and now Tom Brady is going to go down and have one of the most Super Bowls in the game. It's just amazing how that switches up too. So, man, mm-hmm. A lot of good storylines. from Matthew's kid that's just getting in there, like you talked about, you know, kind of a reject, getting a couple of catches. Just an amazing game, too, man. I was going to ask if Percy Harvin's absence meant something big, but didn't really seem to hurt Seattle. But, you know, what a great game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Man, we spent a lot of time talking about that. But, you know, let's kind of talk about some top free agent targets in the NFL. Rob, I'm going to go ahead and throw that to you, Rob, and tell me what you got on the docket there, sir.
I tell you what, on the surface, this looks like a great year for free agency in the NFL when you look at some of the names. Obviously, when you talk about free agency, it's typically pretty hard to find an elite quarterback in free agency. I mean, they come around every blue moon. So, you know, if you're looking for a free agent quarterback, you know, the best of the names are probably going to be like Brian Hoyer, Mark Sanchez, Jake Locker, Mike Vick, you know, guys that can start in a pinch, but not guys that you will want to be starters for your franchise for the long term. So, obviously, the key to still getting a franchise quarterback is to get a high draft pick and have somebody you can groom and grow with the organization. So if you're looking for quarterback free agency, you know, typically, like I just said, as you just heard with those names, you know, those are guys that can start for you in the pinch or maybe help you guide on along with a young quarterback for a few games or so. Running back position, you know, you got DeMarco Murray, you got Mark Ingram, mm-hmm. We had a very good, his best NFL season this year. You have C.J. Spiller. You have Stephen Ridley coming off an injury. And you have Frank Gore, who's obviously getting up in age as well. Obviously, the best of this bunch is DeMarco Murray. And so the Cowboys got a little bit of a dilemma. They also have Dez Bryant as a free agent. And you can only franchise one of those guys. So the Cowboys are going to have to see if they can at least get one of those guys signed long-term before the start of free agency and so they can franchise the other. And based on my understanding is they're really, if they are going to let one or the two go, it would be Murray, from my understanding, even though he's coming off the great season. They believe that his offensive line played a huge role in that and that they can plug another running back there and get similar results. So we'll see Dez Bryant of the two, if it come down to it, that he would be the one who would get the franchise tag. And, you know, other names, you know, you got Mike Iupati, offensive guard, Brian Beluga, offensive tackle. We mentioned Dez Bryant. And, you know, the Broncos even got a little bit of a dilemma. They got Demaryius Thomas. They have Julius Thomas. So they have to make a decision between one of those two guys, or if not, try to at least get one of those guys signed before free agency starts. Also, Randall Cobb, Jeremy Maclin. I mean, there's some very good receivers. Michael Crabtree, who's more of a secondary receiver. How you going to come at me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree?
Go ahead, Sherman. Love it.
And some other tight ends besides Julius Thomas, Jermaine Gresham, Jordan Cameron, who's an elite athlete, Charles Clay, who's a solid tight end, Niles Paul as well. The Dominican Sue with Detroit Lions, also a free agent, so that's one to watch as well. Will he get the franchise tag or will they let him walk? Jared Odrick, defensive end Greg Hardy, who's coming off of suspension. A quiet, solid pass rusher, Jerry Hughes and Justin Houston. Brian Arakpo coming off injury. Jason Worlds, outside linebacker of Pittsburgh, very solid, very productive player. I think he's a guy a lot of people in the league are going to be watching too. Darrell Revis, also a free agent. Devin McCourty, safety from the Patriots. So they have some huge decisions to make too. Brandon Flowers, Antrell Rowe, and Kareem Jackson, also a few guys to talk about here in the secondary. So I know there's a lot of names, but not a bad list of top-notch free agents there if you have teams that need some help and want to hit the free agent market for one or two players this year.
Rob, is Marshawn Lynch a free agent? I know they're talking about extending that contract, but was he on the list of free agency or what?
He's not a free agent, but they're talking about a contract extension.
Okay. I just thought, I remember there's something about, there's some scuttlebutt about that, but good deal. Man, good list. So if you are an NFL team, you know, obviously now is an interesting time. A question for you, Rob, do you think the Saints are going to kind of look into Mark Ingram bringing him back, or what's your thoughts about that, sir?
Well, you know, based on our sources here, they are attempting to bring Mark Ingram back, but, you know, obviously it's a business. I don't think, if it comes down to it, I don't think they're going to franchise him. I think they're going to try to sign him. And, you know, you have to remember the running back position, a lot of teams, you know, feel like they can put just about anybody back there and get the same results these days. So I think they're going to do everything they can to try to keep him at the right price. And if not, you know, I'm sure they have some backup plans.
Well, keep that in mind. We'll also keep my definitely interest regarding what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson. There's a lot of interesting things. Josh Gordon got suspended for a year. Manziel checks into rehab. Man, a lot of stories here. I'm kind of like the Seahawks, Rob. I feel like, man, just like there's like all this adoration, then it kind of comes down because the season is officially over, man, for NFL too. So it's kind of one of those things. I know we got to get ready for combine and draft, but you know, football is officially over, man. So, but you know what I mean? It's like it's over in that instance too. It's like, oh man, you know, no more games for a little while. Let's for watching replay. But you know, it's just it's one of those things, man. So you know, I don't know.
Absolutely.
We're good. Halfway point. Once again, if you want to call into the show, hit us up at 424-243-9519. Patriots are sitting high, Rob. Are there any teams you think that can dethrone the Patriots next season, Rob? Who do you got on the list? Ravens, are they going to rebuild, or what do we have going into next year?
Well, you know, obviously there's still a lot that needs to take place this offseason with free agency and draft and things of that nature. But if you just base it on, you know, how teams are looking at the end of this season, obviously you got to look at the very team that New England just beat in the Super Bowl. Seattle basically is still a very young team with a lot of talent. You would expect them to be very much in the mix again on next season. Obviously, they have some, you know, huge decisions to make with a few players. Russell Wilson's contract is going to be coming up soon. Marshawn Lynch. It seems as though they're going to try to do everything they can to take care of him this offseason as well. And, you know, this is a team that typically drafts well. They can attract players, too. So, obviously, they're the first team that I would look at as a possibility of dethroning the Patriots as champions. You know, another team that you have to look at is the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, who I believe is the best quarterback in the National Football League right now. You have to say that, you know, the Packers, of course, will be one of those teams that you would have to consider for contention as well. And I would say this as well, if Arizona can find a way to figure out their quarterback situation, it's not going to be easy because they don't grow on trees, but they would be also a team that would be in contention. And then you also, you know, it looks like Peyton Manning is going to commit. I would expect sometime this week that he's going to commit to returning and that they can find a way to keep Bebe Thomas and Julius Thomas. This would be a team that you would have to think is going to be in the mix as well going into next season. So, I mean, it's just a few teams. Obviously, every year you have a team or two that comes out of nowhere, and it's going to be somewhat of a surprise. And so, you know, watch for that again next season as well. The NFL is such a league of parity.
It is a league of parity for sure, Rob. And, you know, we'll see if Peyton's got one more season. You know, they pretty much did a lot to strengthen that team. You know, we found that Peyton had a little undisclosed injury. I remember whenever we were going into the season, we were pretty much predicting it to be a recap of last year. But, you know, things happen, like you said, and, you know, injuries occur, and just it's been interesting to say the least, too. But league of parity, and we're going to see how everything happens in free agency and the draft. So we'll keep that in mind as well, too. Falcons, you put a nice little note about this. We actually named the Seattle defense coordinator Dan Quinn as their new head coach. I'm going to give you the first crack, Rob. You got anything to say about this particular hiring in your particular mind? This is a good hire for the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm going to go out, you know. I mean, I don't think it's a secret that, you know, yours truly is a Falcons hater here. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think this is a pretty good hire for the Falcons. I think, you know, he's a bright coach, one of the better defensive minds in the game. And I'm sure they were very meticulous in their approach and, you know, very patient, you know, with this hire. And so anytime you're going to wait to hire somebody after the Super Bowl, he's definitely somebody you're going to be high on. And so I would think as far as a head man, you know, I think this is a pretty good decision for the organization. They got Kyle Shanahan as OC. You know, I think they're going to and Richard Schmidt as the defensive coordinator there as well. Obviously, I'm sure Dan Quinn is going to be very involved in those defensive meetings and defensive room and defensive play calling as well. But going with Shanahan as the OC. So it definitely should be interesting. Shanahan's history as OC is pretty ball control, conservative. I would think that with the receivers and the quarterback with Ryan that they would – you know, he would open up the offense a little more with those players, but yeah, we have to wait and see. I'm sure they will probably be maybe looking for a running back that's a little bit more reliable on their roster.
Good call, Rob. And, yeah, we know that we're both haters on both sides here from, you know, Robert's a Falcon hater and Andre's a Saints hater. But, you know, hey, you know, I don't know how this relationship came to be. But
all in fun.
Needless to say. It is all in fun so far. So you go to the Facebook pages. But, you know, all in fun. if you're a Falcon fan, you're pretty excited because he said a lot of keywords like fast, physical, as far as our goal for the defense. And, you know, there's going to be a system approach too. And, yeah, it's pretty exciting to we're a little skeptical about that. But he did comment on having Kyle Shanahan and his balance. Approach to the game as far as offense, and he was always difficult to scheme against from the press conference. So, you know, we're excited about it. It's a new era. He's the 16th coach for the Falcons in franchise history. So, good hire, and we'll just kind of see how everything will play out for sure. But we're pretty excited about that, to say the least, for sure. Tom Brady makes a great move, man. If you just keep hating on Tom, terrific, man. He's such a great guy, Rob. Man. He's going to decide to give his truck that he won as the MVP to Malcolm Butler that made the play to win the Super Bowl. Do you think this is one of the things, Rob, or is this freaking Tom being Tom? Well, on top of that, man, he feels like he can't do no wrong, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a pretty classy move on his part. And Malcolm Butler sealing the game. It was kind of like baseball, you know. You know, you get the starting pitcher, you know, goes 8-inning strong and, you know, sets the game up for victory. And you come in with that closer and he just kind of saves the game. And, you know, in this particular case, you know, Tom Brady throws 4 touchdowns throughout the game. You know, he had 2 picks, but also, you know, threw 4 touchdowns, threw for 300-some yards and kind of set them up for position to win with that, you know, touchdown leading drive. And then Malcolm Butler comes in and saves the game with the interception. It's almost like the closer. And obviously, you know, just a little baseball terminology there. But I think it was a classy move. Tom Brady has everything he already can imagine having with the Super Bowls and the MVPs and the money. And also, you know, with Butler being an undrafted free agent from a directional school, I think that was a classy move by giving him the keys to the truck for the MVP of the Super Bowl.
You know, I'm sure Tom Brady can get another truck, man. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm sure he's not hurt for that too, man. So they're like, hey, man, what a great move, you know. So, you know, Tom, you know, you give and he'll probably end up getting something else too. But glad he said classy move. You know, it's like the dude just keeps making right moves. He decided to take a little less money. Tom, nobody's scared. Nobody cares about you, man. Clearly, I'm joking, man. We got about 5 minutes left in the show, Rob. I know if you were talking to us the past show, we were definitely talking about our mock draft and we got all the way up to a lot of picks. And now we want to kind of recap picks 21 through 32. Let's kind of get that going before we get ready to do that, as well as the OT portion of the game here. But if you didn't know, if you can always check out the picks, if you go to, once again, to our Facebook.com, you put 12-man sports, and then you'll find our picks right there, too, as we kind of move it. But, you know, the combine's coming up, Rob, 2 weeks, excited about that. And I'm sure we're going to get some scuttlebutt for the draft. And are the Bucks going to go with Mariota or Jameis Winston? We already talked about that. But let's keep moving here. 21 through 32, we're right here wrapping it up. We know who's going to be picking in those picks now. And you kind of called it. You had New England winning that, which is pretty interesting, too. So 21, we got Cincinnati. You got them picking Alvin Dupree. I thought this was a guy that was targeted by the Falcons, but tell us about this this particular player as we move on, sir.
Yeah, obviously he's one of those tweeners that can be a 4-3 defensive end or a 3-4 outside linebacker, and there seems to be a lot of those in this draft. So I think then that's one of the stronger positions in the draft here. And obviously the head coach at Kentucky, his name is drawing the blank here. Is it Mark Stoops?
You're thinking of, you're thinking of Kentucky. Yep, that's it, correct.
Yeah, the head coach at Kentucky. Well, his background, you know, he was used to be defense coordinator at Florida State prior to being a head coach at Kentucky. And so he's coached a lot of these guys that's put into the draft at Florida State. These tweeners, these defensive ends slash outside linebacker, and he's got another one here at Kentucky with Elvin Bud Dupree. The problem is most of the guys that he put out at Florida State, I'm not going to say they turned out to be busts, but it didn't live up to the draft billing here, and that has to be a little bit of a concern with Elvin Bud Dupree here as well. And I think it's probably one of the reasons I don't have him here in the top 15. But, you know, looking on the surface here, it looks like an elite athlete and looked like a football player. But like I said, his track record as a DC at Florida State, his guys did not quite live up to the draft billing once they got to the NFL. And so it's going to be real interesting to see how Elvin Bud Dupree, and see if he has turned out to be a different situation once he gets into the NFL. And
go ahead.
No, great. I'm sorry.
No, you got it. You got 20 seconds for a 2-minute warning. Go ahead, kick it off, man. I want to finish that. Let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
Oh, we'll just cover number 22 real quick. Then we'll get ready for the post game, the post show
portion here.
OT portion. Yeah, I was looking for the right word. Number 22, Shaq Thompson. This guy's a football player here. I think he can easily move up into the top 15. He's a little bit on the small end, and I think I'm more envision him to be a weak side outside linebacker in a 4-3 defense. I think it would be great for a cover 2 defense, which I think Pittsburgh is leaning towards switching. Now that Dick LeBeau is no longer the defensive coordinator, Mike Tomlin going back to his roots with the cover 2 defense, and Shaq Thompson will be a perfect fit. This guy is tough as nails. He covers a lot of ground on the football field. Would be an amazing fit for a lot of football teams. I think he's one of the better players, underrated players in this draft. Really quick, I know we got to get ready for our OT portion. Of course, we only have 30 minutes of live radio. But we got a lot more draft to talk about, a few other topics that maybe we'll squeeze them in overtime. And we can't give you this portion live, but definitely tune in anytime tomorrow when you get a break. Listen to it, you know, write us, tweet us, let us know if you agree with what we're saying, disagree with what we're saying. And we can have a little bit of a debate on Facebook or Twitter, or call us next week on the show. We'll be back live on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our good friends in Hawaii, aloha. That's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaii time. Any closing remarks, Andre?
Big shout-out to the Atlanta Hawks, man. What an amazing run. 17-0, undefeated. First time in NBA history to have a record like that, even though they were beat by the Pelicans. And congrats, Rob. You know, I'm not going to be a sore loser, but that was just a great run for the Hawks, man. I'm just proud of my team, proud of the way they play, man. So those 2 cents for that too. So yeah, woohoo! Recognized.
Yeah, that was definitely an incredible run by the Hawks, and as I mentioned on Facebook, you have no reason to be upset about that. 19 games in a row, and hopefully our Pelicans are starting to get into hit a little stride here, winning 6 out of 7, trying to make a push for the playoffs. But yeah, the Hawks are having an incredible season. And, look like it might have a collision course with the Hawks and the Cavs for the Eastern Finals. Look like the Cavs are starting to turn it on now, too. So it should be fun watching.
Good deal. Sorry, that was a little tangent there. But we are officially in the OT portion. So I love what you talked about, Rob. With a name like Shaq Thompson, great, great player. Let's get to Leo Collins, your boy in the LSU. He's projected as a guard, even though he's playing tackle. Is that pretty? Is that something you can see going into the NFL? Rob, you got him going to Detroit at number 23.
Yeah, a very versatile player. I think drafting him, Lyle Collins. I tell you, he's a road grader, incredible run blocker. And he's going to be versatile. You can play him at either tackle position. You can play him at either guard position, and I think that's what you're excited to see. This is a guy that can start at one of the four positions along your offensive line. So teams are going to like his versatility, his smarts, understands the game extremely well. Very good football player. Obviously doesn't have the elite foot speed that some left tackles come in. He can be a top 5 pick. That's why you have him here. But definitely a guy that can start in the NFL for 10 to 12 years. No doubt about it.
Another cornerback from Michigan State, Trey Waynes. You talk about some great players that are coming out, surprisingly, out of the Big Ten here. Great defense, Rob, going to Arizona, man. What a great pick for Arizona right here, number 24.
Yeah, I think, you put him out on the other side of Patrick Peterson, you got yourself you can make an even. I mean, the Cardinals were one of the best defenses in the league last season. You can make a pretty good defense even better. With this selection here, and I think put them right back in position to make another playoff run next season. But the key position for them, in order for them to get over the hump, is going to be quarterback position. So we'll see what kind of moves Bruce Arians and the Cardinals can make to see if they can get over the hump.
Interesting offseason for Arizona. Eric Armstead, defensive end from Oregon. You got him being picked at Carolina number 25. I'm sure this is in relation to what's going to happen with Greg Hardin. There's someone he's probably not going to come back. Is that why you made a pick for him, for them right here, sir?
Well, that's definitely, I think, it's a different type of player than Hardy. I don't think that Armstead is a speed rusher that Hardy is, but I think he may be a little bit more solid all around than Hardy. Armstead can also play the 5 technique in a 3-4. Also, he can play a pretty big defensive end in a 4-3. I think Cameron Jordan is a similar type of player if you're going to make a comparison to Eric Armstead. They're similar in size, similar in athleticism, and this is about what Cameron Jordan got drafted to by number 24 the year he came out. So I think they're similar type players, but only difference is I think he's a better run player than Hardy. But he's still a very solid pass rusher, but not the speed rusher that Hardy is.
Good call. Baltimore seems like the rich get richer here. I've never seen the draft extremely well. Not everyone may know a lot about Marcus Peters here, but he's a quarterback from Washington. Pretty good size, Rob. Do you think it's kind of a toss-up between having a defensive end or a quarterback here, or they're kind of getting the best player available?
Yeah, I think Ozzie Newsome is always going to take that approach, especially when you're talking a first-round pick. I think you start reaching for needs, second round and beyond. And, first round, you're looking for a player that's going to be a starter in this league for a long time. Marcus Peters, I think, has got great potential. This is another guy that I think, I know we're going to be doing a lot more mock drafts here before the draft. But he's a guy that has a potential when it comes to combines and individual workouts and things of that nature. He's got potential to move up in this draft. And I tell you what, when you look at this draft, University of Washington had a lot of good football players. I'm like, wow, man, why do they want to contend for a Pac-12 title with these players?
You're right, man. They got a lot of talent, Rob. So maybe that's a situation where you know, different coach, man. But, yeah, that's a good call for sure. They've got a lot. It's like Georgia's and the Florida's. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You look at my first-round mock alone. You got Danny Shelton, defensive tackle, on number 11 in Minnesota. You got Shaq Thompson. You got Marcus Peters. You got three defensive players in every level of that defense that is, you know, is going in the first round. And amazing. And, you know, you look at Oregon, of course, you got Armstead, you got Mariota, the team that won the win in the Pac-12. So very interesting that Washington putting out those kind of players.
What's going on in Washington? Okay, I'm sorry. Seattle, Washington. What's going on? Okay, I'm not gonna pile on. Malcolm Brown, Rob, the defensive tackle from Texas. You know, Dallas is trying to improve that defense. That's probably what it seems like you're going particularly right here, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas was able to hide a lot of their defensive deficiencies this year because they had an offense that ate up the clock and controlled the game this year, and Romo did a very good job controlling the ball. They had a dominating offensive line with a running back who was able to capitalize, and so they were able to hide some of their deficiencies on defense this season. And Malcolm Brown would be a good fit. He's a perfect three technique tackle that can rush the quarterback, plays the runner pretty well. You get to keep a guy right there in your home state. And Malcolm Brown, this would be a good fit for the Cowboys.
I know there's going to be some surprises, so this may not go the way that we're looking for the mock draft. But this guy is pretty interesting. You've got Denzel Perryman, the inside linebacker from Miami. And there's another guy that you've got, you know, Bernard McKinney from Mississippi State. Two guys that are pretty interesting. I know that Denzel is a smaller guy. He's not as tall. He's only like 5'11". So you've got him going higher than Benardrick, if I got his name correct. If I didn't, I apologize. But tell us about this pick. I didn't think he's going to – this is one of those picks I'm a Falcon fan. I'm hoping he's going to last the second round. But you got to go into the first round. Pretty interesting as far as this particular move, Rob.
I think when I initially did my draft, I had him graded as a second rounder. But I tell you, GMs across the league are falling in love with this guy. One of the probably better sideline-to-sideline linebackers in this draft. Very smart football player, too. Very instinctive. He packs a punch when he hits you as well. And you know, this is a guy that his size will probably keep him from going any higher than this. But this is a guy, even, you know, during the Senior Bowl practice, guy just fell in love with GMs, falling more in love with them. And I think it's going to be hard for him to fall in the second round at this point.
Indy gets a offensive tackle from Texas A&M. I'm probably going to butcher his last. What's his last name, Rob? Cedric Abihai? You know his name, or how do you pronounce his last
Cedric
name?
Cedric Agbui.
Agbui, okay. We'll go with that. Great pick for Indy, man. You know, you saw Andrew Luck is just kind of doing his thing, man. I'm kind of curious as opposed to maybe there's not a running back they were going to take this high, but good call to kind of strengthen that offensive line, Rob.
Well, yeah. The Colts have become an elite offense, but they still haven't found a perfect left tackle to protect Andrew Luck for years to come. And, you know, maybe Agbui could do it, or they put him at the right tackle starting out.
Agbui.
It's going to be interesting. And but, you know, when you have a quarterback of Andrew Luck's caliber, you have to protect them.
Green Bay, you've got them going with another guy that, you know, you may not be familiar with unless you're in these parts, Eddie Goldman, defensive tackle from Florida State. Any words on this particular draft pick, Rob?
Well, yeah. You know, the thing Green Bay has to consider, I think what happens with B.J. Raji, looks as though he's going to be a free agent. I know he wasn't one of the guys we talked about earlier in the show. But, you know, this could be, I think whether or not they keep him or not is going to play a role in this draft pick. Goldman, not quite as big as Raji, but he's a guy that can come in and fill that nose tackle position in the 3-4 in the event they lose Raji.
If you are, you got Seattle picking Dorial Green Beckham, the troubled but talented wide receiver out of Oklahoma. Can you fit into this move? You know, Seattle clearly, they're missing something in the wide receivers. I mean, I know whatchamacallit, was pretty upset with Dion as far as, you know, she was calling him I. But I think we need some help in that thing. This is a great pick for Seattle.
I think so, too. I mean, they have some decent depth at wide receiver, the Seahawks do. But if you really look at it, they don't really have that elite receiver. That's the one thing that they're missing on the offense. And obviously, you mentioned he's got a lot of talent. He's troubled. But I think he's the kind of guy that Pete Carroll can get him on the right track. And he's got great size. He's got speed. And this will be a weapon. And it might be a slight reach as a result of that. But I think he's the kind of guy that Pete Carroll can you know, reach for a little bit. They're still a talented team. And, you know, turn him into a player.
New England, Benardrick McKinley, inside linebacker from Mississippi State. We're assuming a couple things are going to happen, Rob. You know, maybe they may re-sign Darrell Revis. You know, New England always seems to draft pretty well, too. I mean, you can't fault them. So tell us about this pick here, our last pick for the first round here.
Yeah, obviously, he's more on a bigger end as far as an inside linebacker, middle linebacker, but it's the type of linebacker that Belichick likes to have in the interior of his defense. He's a thumper, you know, so I think this would be a perfect fit playing in the SEC. These are the type of inside middle linebackers that Belichick likes, and so this would be a good fit for the Patriots as well.
Got it. We got about 4 minutes here. Let's end this bad boy strong if you want, Rob. Any type of recruiting steals in the last 10 years you want to kind of talk about here?
Well, obviously, National Signing Day is tomorrow, so that was a little bit of the thought process of just kind of thinking of some guys that are like zero stars, one star, two star, even three stars, guys that won four or five stars that turn out to be somewhat of a steal. And one that comes to mind is Marcus Mariota. He was only a three-star player out of Hawaii. Turned out to lead Oregon to the national championship game. They lost, obviously, but, you know, he was a guy that won the Heisman Trophy. You know, so he was somewhat of a steal. Even the Honey Badger with LSU was a three-star guy. Obviously, he had a little bit off-the-field issues, but, you know, he led LSU to the national championship game. A very impactful college player in just a short period of time. I look at Case Keenum, who was a dominating quarterback at University of Houston that a lot of elite programs passed on. He was only a two-star guy and, you know, did a phenomenal job at Houston as well. And, you know, you look at Drew Brees out of high school, didn't even get a star. Amazing. University of Texas didn't even recruit him, had to go up to Purdue, and, you know, it turned out to be quite a bit of a steal as well. So it's just to name a few. And so obviously, you know, when it comes to recruiting, you have to do a lot of homework and studying these guys. And there's always a few sleepers out there, too.
It's tough because you never know if somebody's going to turn out to be a star player. Certain players that continuously rob state number one, the Matthew Staffords, the Jadeveon Clowney of the world, they pretty much progress and stay, keep that rating. But, yeah, it's very interesting to see how those players that aren't even ranked all of a sudden end up being potentially number one draft picks and stuff like that, too, so being stars on the next level, too.
Yeah, and another guy I'll throw in there, Mark Ingram, was a three-star guy out of Flint, Michigan. And wound up winning the Heisman as well. So that's another sleeper for you.
Good calls. We literally have 2 minutes left. Want to give a shout out to the Cavs for winning. They're on that little win streak. Thunder and Nick Collison agree on their contract extension. I'm going for Kentucky for the basketball tourney, too. So finish this up, Rob, as we get ready to wrap it up, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned the Cavaliers on the road right now with the Hawks losing last night. They're the longest winning streak in the league at 11 right now. And they're doing it with Kevin Love in a little bit of a shooting slump. So hopefully they're trying to work out his issue. He's still contributing in a lot of other areas, assists, rebounding, playing tough, hard nose. But if they can get him out of this slump, they will be a tough team to beat as well. So, you know, that would be interesting as well. So we'll see what happens there going forward. But then we got to wrap up our show. Once again, join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaii. For our friends in Germany, that'll be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. You don't want to miss it. We'll be talking about a lot. I have my first second-round mock draft available for next week's show. So you don't want to miss that to get some information on some sleeper guys that will go in the second round. Good night, people.
Good night, people. See you next week. Good show, Rob.
Absolutely.